Good evening, everyone. Glad everyone could come out. Got a full house. That's just a cell of my nerve. I'm glad there's not too many people here. I like small crowds anyway. So, but anyway, tonight, scripture reading, we're coming from Ecclesiastes. It's one of the toughest books in the Bible, but it makes sense if you read it. It will guide you to a better knowledge of what God is about and also about the author of this particular book. But before we get started, let's everyone take a moment and align your minds and your holy fellowship with the Father, which is in heaven. And then we will pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear Lord, just to hear a word, dear Lord. I pray to you, O Heavenly Father, that you will move me out of the way. All the things that I have comprehended, dear Lord, it's by your grace and your mercy that I'm standing here tonight. You know exactly what is going on. You know what need to be said. So when everything is said, I will give you all the glory, honor, and praise throughout the sermon. I pray to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again unto a living hope of Jesus Christ from the resurrection of the dead. And we just went through Easter anyway, so he has risen. Tonight's scripture reading will come from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11. And it's one book over from Proverbs, and the next one should be Songs of Solomon, I think. Maybe I could be wrong. Better way to do that is to look in the book and see Songs of Solomon, which it is correct. Looked up on that one. But these particular books in the Old Testament are more for wisdom, guidance, and knowledge. The author here, I'm not going to identify him yet because even I'm in doubt, because there are some have said that it was Solomon. There are some said it could have been Lemuel or Eger. And there are some saying that the author could have been someone of a Jewish writer, took Solomon's notes, his words, and wrote them out. But if you read the whole book, everything points towards Solomon. Everything points towards Solomon. And because number one, Solomon was one of the most wisest kings in the Israelite days. He was the king of Israel. But before I go any further, let me go ahead and read the scripture. Scripture reading, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, and by the way, I'm reading from the King James Version. Study Bible at that. If it's pretty good. Give some pretty good notes, and then you definitely have to search on certain things. And it reads as follows. The word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, said the preacher, vanities of vanities. all is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor which he has taken under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It swirleth about continuously, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place where the river come. Thence they return again. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears fill with hearing. The things that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it has been already of old times, which was before us? There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come and those that shall come after. If you don't mind, let me pray over this again. Most Heavenly Father, we come to your Heavenly Father just to acknowledge you in your words. Help the speaker, O Heavenly Father, to speak the words that the author is trying to convey to your congregation, dear Lord. He is said to be a teacher. He is said to be a preacher. But Heavenly Father, help me, O Heavenly Father, to put your word in perspective according to your will and not according to mine. In Christ Jesus, I thank thee. Amen. Earlier, I was talking to you about the author of the book. And the author of the book here, if you notice, it did not come out and say who the author was. It says that he is a preacher. And in some of the manuscripts or in some of your Bibles, whichever Bible you have, it might say teacher or convener, which we know that a preacher is more of a shepherd. So whoever is teaching this, and we're going to go ahead and say it's Solomon, and the reason why I say that, because, well, it does say he is the son of David. And it talks about wisdom as well. And it says that he is a king in Jerusalem. So in the very first introduction, of this particular chapter, it says that he's a preacher. It says that he is a king in Jerusalem. We know that if you are a preacher, you are one that to give instructions. You are to give guidance to help your congregation or your members to fall in line with God's plan and not with your plan. There are times that the preacher, he's going to guide you in wisdom. You can either take the wisdom, what he says, and be a wise man, or you could be foolish and go in a different path. But regardless of what we have, we know that Solomon had wisdom. And we know that he got his wisdom from the Almighty God. And let's turn to prove that. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Or I can just speak it to you. I can paraphrase it for you or whatever. First and foremost, Solomon was a young man. a young man, when he took over the leadership of the monarch of Israel in Jerusalem. And one thing about Solomon was that he was so young that he felt like that he could not rule God's people without the proper instruction or without the proper guidance. So he asked God for wisdom. He asked him for wisdom. And when he asked God for wisdom, God spoke to him in a dream. And we know God appears to prophets. We know that he, back in the ancient days, he appeared to the king in dreams. Joseph, he appeared to him in a dream and things of that nature. But he appeared to Solomon in a dream. And he told Solomon, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not even looking at the scripture. He told Solomon, since you did not ask for, since you asked for wisdom to judge my people, then I'm going to give you some other things. He gave Solomon wealth. He gave Solomon knowledge. He gave him everything that he needed. And he also said, he told Solomon that, since you did not ask for the things to execute your enemies, that's when he said, okay, I'm going to give you all these extra things that you have. Solomon was one of the most wealthiest kings in ancient time. He had a number of concubines, which probably got him in trouble. He had plenty of livestock. Anything you name, Solomon had it. Only thing he had to do is just tell someone, and he could do it. But we have to remember also that David had set Solomon up to build God's temple. And David, since he was a man of war, he was not able to build God's temple. God told him, said, no, you will not build my temple. Your son will. And Solomon ended up building God's temple, which was the immaculate temple, according to scriptures. And Solomon also built his own house, which was great. But back to Ecclesiastes. So we have established that Solomon is the preacher. And normally when a king has what you call a court, he has a number of people around him. And with the wisdom he has, you want to walk in and close your mouth. Because you don't want to open your mouth too much and seem like a fool. Because it will reveal who you really are. So sometimes it's best to just walk in, listen to the wisdom that Solomon's giving. And Solomon was always instructing his people, but somewhere down the line, Solomon got sidetracked. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon is looking at what we call life, values. He's also looking at other things that, everything that's under the sun. He's looking at work. He is looking at, Solomon is looking at some of the things that he can use his wisdom on to help gain knowledge of how man should live his life. Because we know that when he explores life, all that humanity can pursue is what? Knowledge, pleasure, intellectual pursuit. Happiness is one of the key words. Accomplishment and work, etc., etc., etc. The teacher compiled his studies and hypotheses and proverbs regarding wisdom to teach and try many earthly pleasures, but he realized that he couldn't find them because all of it was vanity. Vanity is a vanity. And we know that vanity means what? Meaningless. All right. Empty is one. And worrisome is one of the other words. So Solomon and his and everything that he tried to do, he felt like that everything that man had done under the sun, it was vanity. And throughout the book, Solomon talks about the wind, the elements. He talks about generation from generation. He talks about the rivers. He talks about earthly things that we have that we take for granted on a daily basis. Here in verse 4, it says that one generation passed away and another generation come, but the earth abided forever. Man is one. Man will continuously to phase out or he will die. But the earth will continue to rotate from generation to generation. It is not our goal to stay here on this earth. We're just strangers passing through. Our goal is to please the Almighty God that way we can serve him where he wants us to. But if we're out there continuously looking for things that does not help God to help us grow, then it is all vanity. It is vanity of vanity. Because he emphasized it in chapter 2. I'm sorry, in verse 2. And then if you look at verse 3, it says that what does it profit a man all this labor which he takes under the sun? That particular scripture sounds familiar. But when I looked at it, I thought, okay, well, maybe I wouldn't have used that scripture. But I understood it because Jesus mentioned the same thing, but he put it in a different, he worded it different. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? So then what is our goal here? I mean, what is our goal here on this earth? Are we supposed to continue to worry about the worldly things under the sun? No, it is vanity because you will never accomplish it. You will always continue to thrive and go and go and go. You will never accomplish anything. You will always be unhappy. You will not have any joy because it's all vanity because you're chasing after the wind. You're reaching after the wind and you cannot grasp the wind. Because it just goes and it goes and it goes and you're just reaching and reaching and it's vanity. That's what Solomon is going through. Now, when Jesus talked about it's not profitable if you lose your soul, in other words, what are you gaining? What are you gaining out of everything that you do on a daily basis? We go to work, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, go to sleep, get up in the morning, go to work, come back home, go to sleep, go to work, come back home, go to sleep, go to work. All of that is vanity. What are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to accomplish one thing. You're trying to survive on a daily basis. It's all vanity. Because everything that you earn is either the federal government have the hand in your pocket. It's either you have to maintain your standard of life, gas, utilities, home mortgage, if you have a home mortgage. If you're a billionaire, you're trying to keep what you have. It's all vanity. It's meaningless. Because the key to what Solomon was trying to tell us here in Ecclesiastes is this. Without God, we can accomplish nothing. God is the one that wake us up in the morning. He is the one that get us started. So when we wake up in the morning, we should say, thank you, Lord, I made it. And when we're on our way to work or whatever task you have us to do, we should say, thank you, Lord. Let me be Christ-like today for you. Because everything under the sun that we earn is by the hand of God. Not our hands, but it's by God's hand. We can do nothing without him. The air that we breathe, it comes from him, out of his nostril. The wind that blows, as Solomon is saying here, he give us an instruction how the wind that it comes from the south, it goes north and it twirls around. But it ends up back to where it's supposed to be. And I'm saying, man, that's deep. That is really deep. That you can see at his time, in ancient time, that you can see how he's saying, okay, the wind comes from the south, it goes to the north, it swirls around, and then it ends up back where it was. Only way you can see that today is with the meteorologists today on television, doing the weather channel. They show you a graphic, the little arrows going like this, from side to side. Sometimes it'll dip down and do this. They show you a jet stream doing all of this. It's going up and down, round and around. It shows you. It's coming from the south. It's coming from the west. It's coming from the east. And I, for the life of me, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen a weather system come from the east. I used to always think that the weather system came from the west. Our weather would come from the west a while back. Now, if you notice, it'll come from the east, come from off the African coast, go down there in the Gulf, start up a hurricane, and then it'll come up north. Start up north. He was into meteorology, really, on this. And you know, that's hard. I mean, he had the earthly wisdom to understand what life was about in this world. Because he talks about everything under the sun is vanity. It's meaningless. Here's another one. He talks about the river. All the rivers run into the sea. Yet the sea is not full. Unto the place whence the river comes, then it returns. In ancient time, I mean, really? In his days, in his time, God gave him great wisdom. I mean, he gave him supernatural wisdom that no one should have been able to pull anything over him. No one. But sometimes we might fall into a rut. Sometimes we might get complacent in what we have. He was rich. He had everything he needed. He didn't need anything. If he wanted anything, only thing he had to do was ask God, and you too. You as well. Only thing he got to do is ask. And only thing he got to do is seek him. And sometimes the only thing you got to do is, hey, knock. And it'll be open to you. But he had everything that he had, but one thing he didn't have. To me, it was like I thought he was suicidal. I really did. When I read this, I said, he must be suicidal. He's getting ready to, you know, kill himself. But no, he had so much knowledge, so much understanding of everything. And he decided that he wanted to dip into human life events. And he gained all of this knowledge just by asking questions. Now, trust me, he had other people around him too that was well knowledgeable. And I'm pretty sure it's like when you're sitting around playing, Pastor Bob, I hate to use this, but when you're sitting around using Scrabble, when you're playing Scrabble, you're using words and stuff like that. You know what? You have to have a mind to come up with another word just like that. So these guys, Lemuel could have been, Agar could have been him too. They're asking questions of him. And every time people in the ancient days from Egypt, Jordan, wherever, they came to ask him questions that they wanted to know. So they can, some try to come and test his knowledge. Some try to see if he was knowledgeable or had more wisdom than what they say. But when they got there, they realized that Solomon was the man that God made him out to be. He was not the man that he made himself out to be. He was the man that God made him out to be. But Solomon realized one thing. And I believe also in this particular book, I believe this is when, and if you read on, I believe this is when Solomon decided to change his life and repent of all the things that he had done. I truly believe that. I believe that out of all the things that he had broke in God's commandment, he realized that he needed God more than he needed anyone else. And those are some of the things that we need today. Man could be with you for a moment and leave you the next day, but God will be with you forever. He's an ever-loving, everlasting God. He doesn't change like the earth rotates. He doesn't flow up and down and like the wind and the rain and everything because he created it. He made the lightning to make the rain fall. He made the sea for us to travel in. If you think God did not have a plan for mankind on this earth, you need to read the Bible. Because everything that he had in everything that he has in place, man has went in, and I love when Pastor Bob said this. Excuse me, Pastor. But anyway, man should be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. But sometimes, my brothers and sisters, subduing the earth, we might be doing a little bit more harm to it than anything. And the reason why I say that is because of this. The Israelites were supposed to, when they made the covenant with God, when they came out of Egypt, they were supposed to, what was one of them? They were supposed to let the land rest. 6 years you shall work your land. The seventh year should be a Sabbath year where the land should rest. Even the land should rest. Even the ox that you have should rest on the Sabbath. We're not in the Sabbath, but let me tell you something. They should rest. Man should rest. Why man should rest? Because he should enjoy the fruits of his labor that God put in his hand. That's why we should rest. Solomon talks about this in Ecclesiastes, how man should rest. Because when you rest, you gain strength to do more things. You become more happy. You enjoy the fruits of your labor. If you cannot enjoy the fruits of your labor, what's the purpose? It's vanity. Taking a vacation. I was reading an article. Matter of fact, it was in the March Daily Bread. I was reading an article in there in March about Ecclesiastes. One gentleman wrote an article. He said that they found out that CEOs, that The majority of them continued to work, and they got burned out. But they found out that the ones that took vacation and enjoyed the fruits of their labor, they were better individuals and better people. Rest. Solomon tried it all. Everything that man has done under the sun, he can talk about it right in here. And it goes on to say, all things, verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eyes is not satisfied. Why is the eyes not satisfied? Because it always wants something. But it does have light in it. It's always wanting. The eyes is always wanting. Always coveted. The eyes is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing. Verse 9, the things that has been, it is that shall be. Sometimes our eyes become bigger than what we can handle. When our eyes get too big, we start looking at things that either we can or we can't afford. If you can afford it, God put it in your hands to afford it. If he didn't put it in your hand, then that means that you need to take time to possess that. And if I can go back to the verse of the wind. When I was telling you about the wind swirls and it goes here, you know, that's all. Here's another one that brings to mind. And I lost track of where I was supposed to be. Sorry about that. The wind goes where it wants to go, and we know not where it comes. Anyone knows that verse? I think it's John 3:8. Turn to John 3:8. John 3:8. And I think we all know this verse because that's where Nicodemus came to Jesus in secret. One of the secret disciples of Christ. I'm going to start at verse 6. This is Jesus talking. No, I'm going to start at verse 5. This is Jesus talking with Nicodemus. I take that back. Let's go up the top. Number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into a woman's womb and be born? Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh and blood, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, yet must be born again. And here's the verse. When I was telling you about the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And where it goeth. so is one that is born of the Spirit. And for the life of me, that verse was hard for me to comprehend. And it's something so simple, came simple to me. This is what came to me on that particular verse about the wind swirling. It is God that is doing everything in our life. It is the Almighty. He calls it to rain. He calls the sun to shine. He calls it the freeze that we had. He calls us to come together at one time for 1 week on that freeze. It is God that is doing this. We know not where it comes from. It comes from God. He calls everything to happen. So that's what I got out of it. If anyone has something different, please let me know. But the wind is swirling, and we know not where it comes from. But Solomon over here, he said that it goes south. I mean, he said come from the south, then it goes north, then it swirls around, then it goes back to where it was. Now that is deep again. He knew exactly where it was coming from. So I'm pretty sure, now did Jesus get this from him, or did Jesus give him that information during that time? I'm going to say Jesus gave him that information during that time, because the Almighty is sitting up high looking down low and telling him, okay, this is where it comes from, giving him all the information that he needs. Okay. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto a place from whence the river cometh. The sea is not full so as to overflow the earth, which might be expected from such vast assessment of water to it. God put boundaries around us. He put boundaries around the sea to tell the sea where it can go and where to come from and what to do. He can speak a word, let there be life. Everything that God does, it is good. He put boundaries around the land where the sea is not going to be able to flow into the land. So we have to understand that Solomon is speaking here that there are particular boundaries that the earth has that water will not go into. But let me read on. Whereby also intimate to emptiness of man's mind, nothing withstands the abundance of creatures' comfort. Unto the place whence the river come, unto there, springs or fountains, by secret passage of the earth, or their waters, after flowing into the sea and being mixed with its water, are exiled by the heat of the sun, because vapor and clouds descends in showers. That is amazing, because God will take the water and vaporize it, and it will lift up into the clouds, and then he can move the clouds, and he can move it over the land to supply the land with the nourishment that is needed for your crops. But it's all vanity. Vanity is a vanity. Because man is always going to try to do whatever he wants to do. Man is irrigating his own land. And my brothers and sisters, in closing, I have nothing else to say. But if you get anything out of this, there's nothing vanity about God. Nothing. God is not vanity. Man is continuously to do what he wants to do. He don't understand what God is trying to get him to do. So he's just grasping for wind. Vanities of vanities. And that's all I have tonight. Most gracious, most heavenly, let us all pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for just keeping us safe. And dear Lord, as we leave here and never depart from your presence, give us traveling grace to and from our destination. In Christ Jesus, amen.